Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome into the GSMC Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Doherty. We are here on a Tuesday, and of course, this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. Today, we have some news coming out of the Google I.O. Developer Conference that should be just getting started momentarily now, or later today, over at Google in Cupertino. With a couple things to talk about in this show, coming out of that conference that Google is putting on is going to be this stuff about their Android P, the new Android P update to their OS on all of their Android, Google Android phones. Kind of comparing that to the iOS and talking about how what should be the big topic, the big shift in policy, and what we usually see in these things that are now, all these processing devices, the operating systems are now so advanced, so much to an age now where we're not seeing big shifting changes, minor tweaks and under the hood, tinkering around. But there's definitely something we should talk about regarding that, these operating systems and what should be the big goal here, as well as some stuff with Google and their AI wing. There was reports now that they have just they've renamed their research division Google AI. So they're really going all in on the whole AI stuff. So we'll be talking about that during the end of the first segment, second segment as well. There is big news out of the television tech. Well, it's tech, it's television, it's kind of everything, but and business as well. But these big Comcast, I would consider Comcast a big tech company, media company. And there is news that they are trying to get this funding together to bid and make a sweeping bid for 20th Century Fox's assets and all their different rights and stuff like that. So get Comcast as these media companies, these tech media companies are all starting to kind of consolidate together. Obviously, we still have the Amazons and the Netflixes that they put together their individual content, HBO, Showtime. But the big media companies, main ones like AT&T, I know AT&T is trying to buy Time Warner Cable. That's still hung up in court. But now we're seeing Comcast might want to get on this game. And then also there's news out saying that the Nintendo Switch, with their new, they have some new online availability, obviously. I think there's 20 games you can get with online. They also have cloud storage through their online services with the Nintendo Switch. So we'll be talking about that in the final segment today as well. So let's just get right into it with this Google news. They have really, obviously, I think there's been stuff going all around this whole week. I know there's been news that they have the information and what they're going to unveil today during the I/O has been leaked out with the whole Android P. I know there is going to be a big keynote presentation during this I/O. It is scheduled to begin around 10 a.m. Pacific time today on a Tuesday. So the show will be going out just after it starts. And definitely going to be covering some topics. Artificial intelligence, like I said, is a big one. We'll keep that off till the end of the show, end of the segment, maybe to this end of the second segment. I know I talked about the Google Assistant to ignosium pretty much last episode. The big thing that everybody wants to hear about with this OS is privacy. Obviously, we had a big issue with the fact that Facebook had their had a big data breach earlier this year, and definitely is a question and is a concern for a lot of people, and with the fact that people need to have their stuff continue to be under security. There's lots of information out there. We're getting retail places getting poached under attack from these cyber attacks and different things like that, where people's information are getting out there and breaching information. So these new iOS devices, or I mean, that's Apple, but the new Android devices with their operating system needs a little upgrading when it comes to the privacy functions on them. And it might just be a policy issue. I mean, obviously, Facebook has also been linked to these Google has also been linked to the Facebook scandals. Obviously, when it comes to the privacy, because of the fact that Google has a browser, Chrome, and people go on Facebook and use, obviously, people using Facebook's app through the Android OS and through the Android P, they could be using that for when it comes out. But the problem is that it definitely was discovered that Facebook did collect call records and SMS data from Android users. So, not iPhones, though. So iPhone users, you're okay. But it seems that, yeah, definitely it was reported that Facebook was using the data of calls and such from Android users, which is a direct correlation to Google due to the fact that it's the parent company for those Android phones. And, yeah, so it says, and there was a tweet saying, I mean, it's anyone at risk, you don't use an Android phone. I mean, it says the Android, the security of Androids is a nightmare. It's always been an open source kind of thing when it comes to Google versus Apple being just super, super secure. Like, nobody gets in, nobody gets out, kind of like airtight security, always been on the top line versus Google's always been kind of that free flowing. You know, you go to the Google Play Store, everything's open creator sourcing, and you can do whatever you want and kind of put anything you want on there, whether it's crap or not. Apple has a much higher, basis of what they want on their devices. And when it comes to security, they definitely like to do their own vetting. So, Google has an issue, but Google does have an issue. They do try to combat that issue. There's they do have a team in their internal web of all their employees they have at that company. It's called Project Zero, and they're definitely hopefully they're up to the task, and the task is quite daunting. It is the fact that they have to weed out different vulnerabilities and weaknesses within the Android system, and definitely trying to figure out how many different problems there are, how the problems seem to outrun them and outnumber them quite a bit, as these reports like to say, but definitely having an issue with all of that. I mean, the fact that they have these security updates are not being updated fast enough. There's been reports saying that there was phones that were coming out in March that still had a security update from January, the beginning of January, and the fact that a lot of these Android securities saying that they that's flat out, and they're lying about the security on the devices, saying that they are secure when they probably are not. So they definitely have had some issues that need to update that fact right away. And seeming that, I don't know how they're keeping up with this user base. And I mean, customers are still buying these phones, maybe because they're cheaper, or they just think that they want to pay the Apple premiums, and they're kind of being taken advantage of here. So maybe Apple does, or maybe that Google does the right thing and gets Android to control their privacy a little bit. Obviously, we're going to get into this whole Google Assistant thing where they're trying to gather as much data as possible to make the AI as best as it can. But it looks like that Google is maybe overreaching in the fact that they're using a lot of their own sources of data that they have on hand already, and just kind of overreaching and grabbing too much, basically. And, we have all this ability, we have all these phones and all these users and all this data, raw data coming in and out and in and out. Why don't we just grab some of it? We could just pry open the doors of our security a little bit so we can just kind of reach in and grab what we want. And then they're opening it, and it's just the floodgates kind of open and pushes all out. So that's the problem. Definitely Apple, I mean, must have a different kind of way of doing it, whether they keep everything closed even for themselves, or they have a way to tie themselves into a direct line and getting select data or whatever the such they want to do. But there's definitely been outcry for that. Obviously, Tim Cook has been when it comes to the nutrition. Yeah, when it comes to the fact that how we can tell people how privacy works and make it more plain clothes. I know there's been called for a nutrition label for internet privacy and the fact that, Apple should be a company that could lead the way on doing something like that, where it's really putting it out there on how private or how not private, non-private, a certain entity or piece of information is out there in the world. I mean, the thing is, the problem is these people, and I'm one of them, and a lot of us are one of them, that we put this information out kind of ourselves sometimes, whether we're doing it willingly or not. We're talking and on the phone. That seems a little pedestrian, a little innocent. It's like, oh, I'm just talking on the phone. Whatever I say is going to get recorded. Like, I didn't know that, but even like on our Facebook accounts or things we type and tweet and put on Instagram, and that's all on there for a reason. It's not just for our friends to see and enjoy. I mean, that's what we hope it is for, but it's also for advertisers and these companies, how they make money. And they can put, when we interact with the site, obviously we're willing to put our information out there and hoping, crossing our fingers, it's secure, even when it might not be. So Google is trying to figure that out and definitely trying to be secure, quote unquote secure, while also extracting as much data as possible. I mean, there's been quotes saying that Google is trying to claw every piece of data out of us, and whether it's through all the Google Photos or Google Plus or Google Drive or whatever have you. There's so much different stuff. I mean, they own YouTube now. Google owns YouTube, and they have for a while now, but that's another ballpark right there that can go into. I mean, it's the fact that it's ridiculous where. And Google, I mean, there's been reports saying that they have all this location tracking. They have a history, minute by minute account of where everybody's been, whether it's you have Google Assistant turning on your location services. I mean, Google doesn't even have Google doesn't have that quite. The ability, whatever they want to do with their photos, and they're going to push. I don't know if they're going to look at history of that, whether they're going to be able to timestamp or location stamp your pictures. That's a whole other question. It's a lot of different things that could be going on here. I think that Google definitely needs to figure this out. But the Google I/O, obviously, it's happening today. It's been deemed kind of a weird time for it, obviously, now with their whole connections with them and Facebook. Facebook just had their Facebook F8 developer conference last week. It's been deemed kind of a creep show, kind of a fest. I don't know, just not that kind of a wrong time. Like, what's going on here? Like, what are we doing? With all this going on right now, like, what are we doing? Why are we happening? What's happening? So, I mean, it's just be interesting to see what Google puts out on the show today. And, I know a big part of it's going to be their Google AI. I'll be talking about that in the next segment, and the fact that they've totally revamped and recalibrated and rebooted their research department into becoming the Google AI department. Obviously, trying to really get out there and get out in front of Alexa or the Apple Pod or Home Pod or whatever Apple's calling it with Siri and such like that. So, definitely having some issues. People are having some issues with the fact that they're just maybe trying to do it too quickly. And by doing it too quickly, they get into our backyards, into our backs and backpacks, and grab our information and take all of our stuff. So it's kind of frustrating at some point, obviously, with all these new different updates coming out. Hopefully they can just take a little page out of the Apple book and be like, okay, guys, we got enough data. Let's just kind of put this out there and make things outright. So, I mean, yeah, there's definitely interesting stuff. There's been more reports and notes coming out of the fact that Apple is kind of having to sit over there in their corner and be sneering because we have better. Obviously, Tim Cook didn't. He's a good CEO. When it comes to Tim Cook, doesn't miss opportunities. Obviously, with the Facebook stuff coming out and Google being connected to it, one of their main competitors, Facebook, Google, Apple, but with Facebook and Google kind of getting called on the carpet with this whole data breach thing, Apple, he did not miss a moment and come out and say that Apple has some of the best privacy credentials and data. I mean, not data, but it's definitely privacy policies in place at this point. And I mean, I still, every time I think about Apple's protection, Apple's security, I mean, it's not the best comparison, but I mean, these guys, remember what happened in San Bernardino when we had that couple, it was a terrorist attack down in San Bernardino when the FBI had a chance to break into their phone and Apple wouldn't open their phone for them because it breached their policy. I mean, this is for criminals. I mean, not the, I mean, it's, like I said, it's not the best analogy or best example, but I mean, this is so telling you what they're. I mean, obviously, the FBI ended up getting in there anyways. I think Apple would have. I think after going through the process, they just wanted to move through the legal process of requesting it correctly. They were going to let them do it, but that's just quite an extreme example. I know, but it's still an example all the same. All right, when we come back, we're going to go over the Google AI and the fact that they're kind of revamping that division of Google and really going all in on the AI and the creation of the Google Assistant. And we'll see if it gets a name anytime soon. But I'll probably be one of the first ones to tell you. All right, we'll be right back with all of that.
You want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
All right, welcome back. Second segment of the day today here on a Tuesday, GSMC Technology Podcast, as we're going to go over Google and its plans to go all in on artificial intelligence and the fact that they're now going to be expanding a Google AI site. They have rebranded the and revamped the Google Research Division into a now Google AI division. So, I mean, whether it's they're just kind of, they've researched their butts off, and now we're just going to go all into AI. Obviously, the R&D, research and development dollars have been probably deeply steeped into that as they are trying to get this AI ability into every facet they possibly can. And I think, I mean, I'm already seeing on my notes here the fact that they're definitely going into different markets and different vehicles. And speaking of vehicles, they're trying to get automotive applications, obviously going into mobile apps, whether it's through video or just saying it on the search, you know, hey Google, do this for me. Obviously I could say, hey Siri, and she'll pop up for me just like she did just there. Look at that. Boom, boom, boom. I think the best part of it is the fact they're also not forgetting about what we need, and that's help with the healthcare situation. Is that AI into healthcare could be a big deal in the advancement of our medical abilities in this country and around the world. Definitely trying to figure out how this tech feature can help at different facets of our daily life and everything. Obviously, to computerize and to have a computer version of healthcare research would be very good to have it, be able to have an artificially intelligent device to kind of go in there and find different ways to help people out when it comes to their health problems. But Google, you can't mark everything off with Google. I mean, you can't forget about anything. Obviously, Google has, they have, you know, to compete with the Google, with the Facebook owned Oculus Go headset. Obviously, now Facebook has their virtual reality lab, but I don't know. We'll see about if Google goes that way. I know Microsoft also has done the same thing. They did it actually 2 years ago when they changed their Microsoft, their research arm into the Microsoft AI Plus Research. We're still waiting for them to drop the old research part of their name, make it just Microsoft AI. But I mean, Google has now gotten onto it and has been changing it to Google AI. But so we're still figuring out what they all really want to do with it and how deep it's going to go into this, into the whole AI conversation. I know we talked a lot about the Google Assistant and the fact they're trying to make it bigger, better, more quicker, have more things to do. I know I've talked about Alexa. I've talked about AI a lot about them on the show. I talked about Alexa and how you can now give her skills and not even have to program them into her. You just kind of tell her, okay, for this person, I want to do this. For this person, I want to do that. I know whenever I sign in when I downloaded my Alexa app on my phone, it asks, okay, who is this? Like, even if it's a different person, like we have five people at the house, if you have five people at the house, you can have five different people that she'll recognize, and she'll be, and she could have a different joke for everybody. She could have different schedules for everybody. So, I mean, we've gone over that, but just crazy that now we're getting into it. Everybody's kind of catching on to it, and Google is going to be that another company to do that. But so we've talked a lot about, I know we talked a lot about Google today. We're going to Google. We're deep into Google today, at least for the first half of the show. For healthcare issue, for healthcare stuff, it could be great getting an AI into the whole research ability of it, into finding new methods and ways to heal ourselves and to help people out. Obviously, in other countries where they need more advancement in healthcare, medical healthcare, and technology, I mean, it can only go forward in a good way. Getting the artificial intelligence. I mean, when it comes to, I mean, we already have the IBM has the Watson, which is its big computer and its AI computer. We'll see if Google can come out with a name for theirs anytime soon. We'll call it GA, Google Assistant. But I mean, Google, they're calling it the Google or the Googler, because basically everybody's just going to ask him to Google things for them. Like you say, "Hey Siri, what's the weather today?" And Siri will tell me how the weather is. Look at that. That's what everybody does. Just look at the weather. These AI things. But that's the thing. We're only scratching the surface of this whole AI idea here. And the fact that there's definitely lots of ways to go with this. Google changing the name of their research division to AI. All right. For the rest of the segment, we're just going to kind of, I mean, I know I have some stuff I wanted to get to in the next segment, but we're going to wait. We're going to hold off on that. I know Google and their I.O. and their keynote is happening right. It's going to be starting in about 40 minutes now, and we'll be going in. I'm just going to get some highlights on what to expect from the Google I.O. I know we're talking about the fact that they are going to be introducing the Android P and what to expect from there. I know that there has been some stuff leaked out. I don't know if I would. Did I even go over what was leaked from that Android P stuff? So no, I don't think I have it in my notes here. But I didn't even go through what was going to be happening in the Android with the Android P, and how there's some of the features may have been leaked before this whole kit and caboodle gets going on. In just a few minutes here at the Shoreline Amphitheater in Mountain View, California, which is, I mean, it's going to be on you can stream it live too. Of course, it'll be simulcasted, but yeah. So obviously, Android is the most used platform around the world due to the fact that it is obviously available to multiple phone. Developers, not just Apple, it's just Apple. iPhone, iOS is just on Apple versus the Androids on Samsung phones, LG phones, HTC phones, Motorola phones. I mean, is there more? Sony phones. I think Sony. I'm not sure. They might have their own. But the thing, yeah, it is interesting how it is going to be going on. But it looks like that there's been some screen capture posts that have been posted and could be different things that would be announced during this I.O. and in this new update for the Android phones. It looks like there's going to be more screen gestures when there comes to stuff that they're trying. I don't know. I've already gone over the fact that people copycat off the iPhone a lot on this show. The fact that we're seeing a lot of iPhone copycats. I know there's the pressure touch. Whether it's different screenshots, screenshot availability and stuff like that, but and with the cameras and things like that. But it looks like that it's getting a lot closer to the whole. I mean, the fact that Apple has gotten rid of their the home button now, we're getting the same kind of gestures where you swipe up on the bottom of the screen to get back to the home screen. Here, it looks like the swipe up on the home button. To switch apps, swipe up on the home button. I mean, swipe up to see all apps, same kind of thing you do with the Apple, where if you swipe up with the iPhone 10, it'll get you to the home. If you kind of swipe up a certain way, it'll get you and show you all the different apps you have, versus like if you have the home button, you just double click it, kind of thing like that. So they're getting into these gestures that are seeing the same thing that we're seeing on the iPhone. I don't know, there's more gestures you can add on. Obviously, the swiping fingerprints, jump to camera, flipping cameras, swiping on the home button, double tapping to check the phone. You can definitely, obviously, when it says you, like, that's on a lot of phones where you, if it's turned upside down, it's black, and you turn it face side up, the durometer in there will be able to tell that, and it'll turn the screen on versus a second. Like, that's what I do all the time. I just have my phone sitting down, face down. I'll turn it up, turn it over, and it'll show me the time. I don't have to press any buttons. But yeah, definitely looking like that. There's going to be a little more difference with the whole prevent ringing thing. Obviously, a new prevent ringing feature, as well as new battery controls and different ways you can help from losing battery and having battery drained from your phone. So it looks like there's going to be a lot of new stuff. I mean, this was all posted on Google Plus by, I don't know if it was a leaker. It was probably, yes, it was just a leaker, posted a guy with a pseudonym. It was posted on Google Plus about the, new series of Android P, screenshots. So this is all the new, stuff that's been leaked out from the Android P release that's going to be happening in about 30 minutes. Well, at least the old whole kit caboodle with the Google I/O. I don't know what they call it. That Google I/O. I know isn't it called Macworld or something like that? Macworld conference, the one for Apple. I don't know. They have all these names for these things. I know this one's gonna be pretty big. It's gonna be, I mean, they're having it at an outdoor amphitheater in Mountain View, right next to the, which is, I mean, it's right next to the campus, obviously. But lots of different stuff going on, obviously. Lots to expect because these new Androids are going to be kind of copying the old iPhone. Obviously, they're going to be supporting the same kind of look with the phone, same kind of thing with the gestures and the control buttons. Obviously, there's going to be, instead of the control buttons, they're getting rid of the new control, getting rid of all the of an actual physical button. But and it's going to get, obviously, that a new look too. I didn't even tell you guys, obviously, on this picture here, I'm seeing from these screenshots that it looks completely different. It's a much more streamlined Apple looking kind of thing, where it's going to be, I mean, just a very plain, new, clean look, kind of like Apple, honestly. It looks just like it. But honestly, it doesn't think so. Also, Google is going to be announcing that they're going to be expanding the Android. Android OS to different things regarding like different appliances and such. I know they're going to be a spin-off version of it will be announced called, it's going to be called Android Things, and it's going to be available to put run on robots, refrigerators, cash registers, and vending machines. It's going to be kind of making that smart technology. Obviously, I talked about the fact that the Google Assistant is now compatible, and the Google Home is compatible with 5,000 different smart appliances. So it's gonna be pretty crazy. Obviously, artificial intelligence is a big deal with the new update. They're gonna be really updating the OK Google's ability to pretty much do whatever you want, and the Google Home will get some new brains as well. You know, calling them brains, but definitely new abilities and functions for your Google Home. I know that Amazon Alexa, I talked about that a couple weeks ago, and the fact that you can, the little skills, I just went over that a few minutes ago. Looks like that Google will be adding that as well to the Google Home device, as it's continuing to trudge along with its AI initiative. And obviously, we know all about that, as I've gone over that to ad nauseum this whole first half of the show. As we come to the end of the first half of the show, I know second half we're going to be talking about the Nintendo Switch and Comcast in the and its urge to go and gobble up some more assets from another big media company. All right, we'll be right back with all of that in just a moment after these messages.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back. Third segment of the day here on the GSMC Technology Podcast, as we have some news regarding the Comcast now is going to be making a push to buy 21st Century Fox. I know this is, we're getting on the fringe here of technology and media, but I mean, it's all the same. This is all technology. I know Disney was the original bidder to acquire the assets of 21st Century Fox for, I think it was arranged around $52 million for $52 billion for Disney to acquire the assets of 20th Century Fox. Now Comcast has swooped in with a $60 billion bid to try and get this big asset grab from 20th Century Fox. I know Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, was definitely making it clear that Disney was trying to get after this Fox stuff. Obviously, Fox is a big deal when it comes to the X-Men franchise, to regional sports networks, to different all these kind of stuff. They're definitely trying to wait for it to go through with this regulatory approval. Obviously, Comcast can't really do anything, especially with the wake of this of the AT&T and Time Warner merger being stopped up due to some, it's not antitrust, but it's definitely monopolization issues that the government is trying to get around. But it looks like that now Comcast is like, well, if it works out for AT&T, it's going to work out for us, as we're going to make a deal here with 21st Century Fox, and we're going to outbid Disney here. You know, it's definitely made some issues and some sparks fly along with the sports media. Obviously, Disney would have to, if Disney was to acquire 21st Century Fox, it'd be interesting to see how the regional sports brands would have to get in, would have to integrate with ESPN. Obviously, ESPN is an entity of Disney, and I've gone over the whole deal with their new platform, with the ESPN Plus platform, and how we're getting into the more cord cutting and more cord cutting. But definitely some interesting issues to talk about there. I know Fox Sports is also a number one competitor and has made some competing deals with ESPN regarding the rights to air the NFL and different events regarding that. So I know Comcast definitely outbid Disney. They outbid him by about 15% for the properties last year, but were turned down due to antitrust concerns. But now we're seeing another thing come across the table due to the fact that we're waiting for this AT&T and Time Warner merger to go through, and it's been still unresolved. So there hasn't been a decision made. I mean, once the decision is made, I think it's going to kind of just send waves and make precedent for all sorts of stuff. I know that we're going to wait. Till next month until the judge rules whether AT&T and Time Warner can come together, and we'll probably get another decision from Comcast and Fox 21st Century Fox as well to see if they are going to come together. I know there's been a report from Reuters that, like I said, they won't be the Comcast won't officially be submitting its bid until after the judge rules on the AT&T and 21st and the Time Warner cable deal. Yet. So yeah, 21st Century, the first deal has to go through before the second deal happens, and nothing else can really happen other than that until then. All right. Yeah. I mean, none of these stories I have for these two segments are long enough to fill up a whole segment. So we're pretty much going to bounce around here the last couple segments with a bunch of different stuff. I'm going to just get right to this story I have on the Nintendo Switch and the fact that with the Nintendo Switch and its online service, you can now have cloud saves, and there's going to be 20 different free Nintendo NES games available for subscribers. So if you subscribe to it, you're going to be able to get 20, like I said, 20 classic games, and you're going to be able to have some online cloud backup services as well. So they're going to be having this deal out. I know there's a pricing information here if we're going to look at it. I know that I can give you the list of the games as well that will be for free. I know that the online services will be launching in September of 2018. And the fact that, this Nintendo Switch Online 2018 of September, September of 2018. And when it comes to the pricing, individual memberships will be, for 12 months, it'll be $20 for 12 months. And, $4 for 1 month, $8 for 3 months. I wouldn't do that. And then for a family membership, which, seems, yeah. So it's up to 7 people, or invite up to 7 people. So it's 8 people total, looks like, for $35 a month if you're going to do a family pricing for this Nintendo Switch Online availability. Obviously, it should be pretty marketable, as we have all these gamers now are going to be able to play their favorite Nintendo games on the Switch online. I'll give you the list of the games that are going to be for free. I know that, yeah, so the access of the 20 NES games at launch, and more will be added regularly, says Nintendo. Obviously, the service is called NES Nintendo Switch Online, and the launch, I know there's going to be 10 titles. We have Super Mario Bros., Legend of Zelda, Soccer, Tennis, Donkey Kong, Mario, just regular Mario Bros., Balloon Fight, Ice Climber, Dr. Mario, and Super Mario Bros. 3. Will all be available. According to Nintendo, though, there will be some form of functionality online for every single classic game that the NES has in the NES catalog. So it looks like that you'll be able to, using a dedicated app for the Switch Online, and being able to voice chat with your friends, share your screen, pass a controller, doing whatever you need to do to play your favorite games with your friends on Nintendo Switch. And yeah, it seems pretty cool. Like I said, I went through the prices kind of as we go along here. I know the Xbox Live is it's like $60 a year for Gold, and PlayStation Plus is about the same thing. So it's going to be quite a bit cheaper. It'd be about $40 cheaper for individual account for a year of service. $20 versus $60. So you got to like that if you are a Nintendo fan and you were looking to play Nintendo on the old online. I'm online. Mom, leave me alone. I'm online. I'm wired in. All right. Some more news coming out of Nintendo saying that the Switch actually, there was some reports out saying that Nintendo might get a virtual console, might be seeing something where we're going to have a headset or something like that. But it looks like Nintendo does not have any plans. We have reports saying that Nintendo has no plans to bring the classic games with a virtual console. It's never been done. It hasn't been done. And it has been done before with the Nintendo systems, obviously with the Wii and all stuff like that. But it looks like that they will not be doing this on the Switch. So obviously it was unclear before, but now Nintendo has come out and said that they definitely will not be doing. They don't have any plans right now. That's the thing. Obviously, with the whole arcade games and the new older games that they try to reboot here with this Switch and making it more just, you know, integrated in with the older and newer games on the Switch, they're not going to be bringing in the stuff when it comes to this virtual reality, you know, virtual console kind of stuff where everybody's going to be, oh, I'm working within the screen. It's not going to do that. They're keeping it simple with the Switch, other than the fact that they're going to be extending its online capabilities at the end of this year. So you got to look forward to that for sure. Yeah, everybody's making it pretty clear. Even the publishers have come out and said that they're really, all the plans for game releases have not been created or been developed in order to be put on the for virtual console and such. So it's gonna be the fact that I know that you can't transfer the games over. That's what everybody was trying to hoping for. But it looks like that games that were purchased on the Wii U, or Nintendo DS, you can't may allow them transfer to Switch, but it looks like that's not available yet for the Switch. And there's not a lot of different stuff available. Don't worry about that kind of stuff. Just play Switch the way it's meant to be played. Lots of different cool things regarding that. Quickly before this is over, I know that I want to do a little Fortnite update. And for those who are the fans of Marvel and the Avengers Infinity Wars that just came out last week, that's been going out like gangbusters, holy moly. Yet to see it. Well, I'm waiting for the crowds to kind of disperse a little bit, then I'll make my way over there to see it. But for those Fortnite fans, I know it looks like you can yield the power of Thanos in your Fortnite game, as they're making him available in the crossover with Fortnite and the Marvel Universe. But you can have Thanos in Fortnite with this new patch, and I'll probably link the patch notes for the Fortnite Infinity War crossover, as you can yield the power of the Infinity Stones in Thanos with the with the Battle Royale. So this is going to be a limited time event in Battle Royale mode, as it is going to be called the Infinity Gauntlet Limited Time Mashup. I know it's a lot of things, it's kind of a mouthful, but Thanos will be in there, and there is an ability to use the Infinity Stones in Fortnite. So that's pretty cool. As far as that is going to be said, but yeah, there's going to be, you only jump into this gauntlet as a solo player, by the way, so no squads in this event, at least as of now. But I will definitely, I'll link this site and this article that has all the patch notes for it. I found all the patch notes for you guys, so I can link all that in there for you Fortnite players out there. Just wanted to let you guys know that I'm like, oh, that's right, Thanos is in there, and there's even a way to beat Thanos and his Infinity Stones. There's a whole another list of things to do when it comes to the way to face off against the Mad Titan. I know he has a couple different abilities, but it looks like that there are ways to get around them. Obviously, you got to be able to help out the users. It's all about the players, right? We all want to be able to play. But yeah, looks like that they made him purple too. It's just like already nerfed in the new update because they made him purple. But yeah, so it looks like that he's a cool little addition there. We'll see how it goes over with the reviews come out over the couple more week. But it looks like I'm already seeing videos of people playing with him, playing against him in the Fortnite game. You know, the fact that he's already in the game, I think it's obviously he's a villain. You're not going to be Thanos. He's just going to be in the map. As I'm looking at this little screen grab of people playing against Thanos in Fortnite, or with Thanos in Fortnite. Oh, look at that. Okay, actually, he is playing as Thanos. There we go. I thought it was like a villain in the game, but that doesn't make any sense because you just play against people who are also playing, right? Yeah, I knew that. I know games. I have to report on them, right? I know games. But yeah, no, Thanos is in Fortnite, and he's orange. I mean, he's purple, so yeah. But he looks pretty cool in his armor, and he shoots lasers out of the Infinity Stone, so it looks pretty cool. But yeah, he looks really cool, honestly, in this game. I have to go over there and start the, and go use Thanos with the Infinity. What was the big long mouthful that I was talking about? Infinity War, Infinity Gauntlet, limited time mashup. There we go. Remember that one. All right, that'll finish off the segment. We'll be right back with some more news in the technology world before we sign off until Thursday. So hang tight. We'll be right back after these messages.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's show as we will go through some little stories that I have deemed valuable and worthy enough to get it on my very highly touted show. Just, yeah, I need to tone it down a little bit. But no, just going over some topics and some reports coming out from today and the most recent ones, just to bring to your attention. There is a report out that Gmail's iOS will now allow money to be sent from users via Google Pay, and you can now go through email and be like, hey, send me $5 for that thing you bought me, or if you're going to sell something. But it looks like that you now can send money in Gmail and attach, basically compose a message kind of thing and request or send a mail money through that. Obviously, you have to connect your whatever, your credit card or bank account through the Google Pay service. So it looks like that it's going to be like that. You can send up to $9,999 in one transaction or up to $10,000 in 7 days. So I don't know if people are using it for e-commerce or such like that, but it's more of a, I think it's more of a friend to friend thing. And you can now send, you can transfer it to your bank right away as well. So that's a cool service, obviously adding it into the, I mean, all these kind of messaging services. And there used to be able to be a Snapcash where you can still do it, honestly, sending money through Snapchat. Now Gmail is adding it to its app. You can do it through the phone app on the Gmail app on your phones through iOS. So it looks like if I went on Gmail right now, it looks like I probably get updated and go put in my credit card information and it'll work just fine. All right, next one up. I know I talked about the Windows 10 sets and the fact that they're called sets, and they're going to be all these different apps and stuff like that, and tabs. I know the tabs, the sets where you can run multiple programs in one window through the tabs. So it looks like that you can, instead of like, you know, when you open up your web browser, you have all the different tabs for the different web pages you have open. Now you open up one window and you have different tabs for your different applications you have open. So whether, and it's me one screen. And it looks like that, I mean, people have, whether you want to open up your sites or you're going to have a Word document up there, or you have Wikipedia, it doesn't matter. Instead of having it all lined up in your toolbar download, you're going to have one main window and being able to toggle through your different open applications through it. So, Apple did do something a little bit like that on the Mac OS Sierra, where you can kind of have a universal tab open. But it definitely is going to be interesting how they do it and how that works out and is different than Apple. Obviously, they're not doing it quite like Apple. You couldn't be just straight copycatters. I mean, never know. But we're going to have to figure out how quite they work out. I'll have to do a little review action and bring it back with it. It's reported. Now, I did talk about that a little bit ago with the fact that this, I did mention what sets were. I think it was a couple of weeks ago when I was first talking about Windows 10. But now they're really trying to, we're really trying to start seeing what they meant by that. I know that for those who had the insider builds and the beta testing kind of have already done it, but definitely have been trying to use it to kind of, I mean, whether it's going to make your computer run faster, you don't have to open as have Windows reload and such like that. You're going to be able to have tabs to toggle between apps and websites and letting you kind of, I mean, I get how it works. So if like, say you're working on an essay or a project on in one Excel sheet or application that might not be a web browser, but you have web pages that you're using it for research or such to get information and pulling them over. You don't have to toggle between different windows. You know, I just toggle between the different tabs up on top. So it does make it a little quicker. And you can have all your different stuff with your, I mean, obviously they want you to use Microsoft Edge, which is what Internet Explorer, I guess, used to be. Yeah, and no, nobody uses that. But it looks like it says you have a single window with all your apps up there and your Edge websites as well. So if you can have, like I said, if you're writing an essay and you have your Word document in one tab and you have the other two as web browser tabs, so it's all in one window instead of having a separate window for your Word document, even though I think I still like the fact of having two windows and having that snap function. The snap function was the best thing Windows ever did. And yeah, I don't know what they did to get rid of it or still have it, or now they're trying to make it a little, seem like they're making it look seem obsolete. I don't know why they would want to do that. There is a report, new report out saying that push notifications could get better at targeting us, whether it's our through our location services. A lot of different people using the location services, obviously. There's been interesting outcomes of this whole push notification thing. We're having false alerts happen and such like that. But regarding people who have them on and have them off, I don't like. Sometimes I only have little. I think I have maybe two or three apps where I have push notifications on. I know that you can still have the badge apps and such like that. Where, but there is a whole new output out. New podcasts and new things out there regarding people and how they have to deal with their button pushing and how they what alerts they get on their phones. I mean, there's lots of stuff out there regarding it, but it looks like that there's reports saying that now new technology will be able to get your push notifications better at targeting you and to saying, oh, would you like this? Do you like that? You want to shop for this? You want to shop for that? Mm-mm. No, thank you. All right. There's a report for gaming out there. New little gaming information for those who are heavy, big time gamers and are trying to get on a bigger, a better web web router services for your Wi-Fi to get you better connected to your Xbox servers. The Xbox servers. There is a new Xbox Linksys. I know Linksys is a big company out there that does this stuff. Like, you know, web connection services with their routers and stuff like that, but Linksys is now going to be with the, and it's all looks like it's paired with Xbox, as it has the Xbox logo on there as well. But they're going to be shipping its new WRT32XB router and will be gaming focused. So obviously they have the another gaming focused model that's already out there, redesigning a new one that's going to be designed to speed up gaming on the Xbox One. So if you're going to get out there, it looks like that it's going to be prioritizing the Xbox One to get access, obviously, and it's going to be for faster gaming. Well, faster gaming quality and gaming experience. Honestly, you want to increase your experience, but it's going to be applying. It's going to be applying the killer prioritization technology engine technology. It's also going to be using a ability to automatically to prioritize automatically and to also detect any Xbox One gaming. So it's going to be reducing the lag and cutting down on ping times with the Xbox One for Xbox One users. It is now available at a cool $249.99, seemingly $50 less than the original price that was advertised earlier. All right, next up, Microsoft has reportedly undercut Apple and Google to offer Windows 10 to more developer their developers more money to apply, to develop Windows 10 apps versus Google Store apps or Apple Store apps, looks like. So Microsoft, even though they're not, they're still trying to hold on. I know they're trying to get in, they were getting in the whole cloud storage game and stuff like that. And Amazon already kind of got on that, but looking like that Microsoft is trying to really trying to double down on this whole Windows thing, especially with Windows 10 coming out. And they're saying that it's going to be undercutting and overpaying developers to get stuff into their app, into their Windows Store instead of the Apple Store, obviously, or the Play Store. But it's still, yeah, it's interesting how they're doing that. Definitely, I mean, the it's just it's crazy. Obviously, they're trying to keep trying to get more money available. Obviously, it's by changing its policies. Basically, just changing its policy. I mean, basically, developers are not being able to are able to keep 95% of the revenue that their apps generate versus the 70% cap that was originally put on there. So 95% cap, but it's only going to be available to that is the one catch. It's only going to be available to consumer apps and not not gaming apps. So Microsoft does switch it to 85% for the if the company, and also switch. That's the thing. Yeah, that's really getting through my notes here. I'm just like, what? This was a little complicated. Microsoft also switches that cap to 85% if the they want to be able to obtain a customer through the Microsoft Store, but through marketing. So if they help them market out, if they help them market the application, they get even more money. So that's how they're going to get more money on the back end, but still be able to pay the developers a bit more. But I mean, there's always a catch for some things. I don't know. Always a catch. La la la. Yeah. All right. So we obviously have had the Google I/O come out. And it's going to be start in 1 minute, actually, as I'm recording the show now. It's going to be starting in 1 minute. I'll be probably tuning in to watch the live stream of that. Google Build, Microsoft Build 2018 is there also their developer conference, their Build developer conference. That will be starting with the CEO, Satya, or Satya Nadella, will be coming out with a keynote presentation from Microsoft. That will be happening in San Francisco, or me on well, that one, yeah, that one's going to be happening today as well as May 8th. Yeah, May 8th. As I'm looking at the where's the start time, it was 8:30 a.m. in San Francisco, 11:30 a.m. in London. So it's also going to be available on the Microsoft Live streaming app. So yeah, I'm just trying to see where. Obviously, it's going to be continuing on. It's going to be, it's probably going on right now. So it's going to be going on throughout the Google I/O as well. So back to back, all keeping it all in the family, all one day, not the family. All right. I'll wrap it up for today's show. We've gone over a bunch of stuff from the Google I/O presentation that's been going on today, whether it's through the Android or the Android P or the AI stuff. I went over the Comcast bid with Fox, 21st Century Fox, and the Disney stuff. Did a bunch of little different stories about all of our favorite little tech gadgets, the Fortnite stuff, and then we have our, obviously, Nintendo Switch online capabilities will be available in September of 2018. They come out with their price point for that and the different perks that you can get when you sign up for their services. All right, so we'll see you, everybody, on Thursday for some more tech news. Everybody, enjoy your week. Go play some Fortnite. Go play with Thanos. Let me know how you liked it. And until then, everybody, enjoy your week. We'll see you on Thursday.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.